Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call for announcement of acquisition of Arvind Advanced Materials Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Satya Prakash Mishra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you once again. We are meeting a little earlier than expected, just before the results, to discuss the important corporate action of announcement of acquisition of Dalco GFT by Arvind Advanced Materials Limited. I hope everyone has gone through the presentation and other materials we have put out and uploaded to the stock exchanges. Let me introduce the management team that I have with me. We have Mr. Puneet Lalbhai, the Vice Chairman, Mr. Jayesh Shah, Whole-Time Director and Group CFO, Mr. Nigam Shah, Executive Director and CFO, Mr. Gurpreet Singh Bhatia, CEO and President of Arvind Advanced Materials Division, Mr. Mayank Tiwari, the Chief Strategy Officer of Arvind Limited, and Mr. Amit Pal, the CEO of our Industrial Composite Division. At the outset, we would like to mention that the company is in the process of announcing its annual results for FY26 shortly. In view of this, we will refrain from discussing detailed financial numbers or business performance during today's call, other than the matters directly related to the announcement of the transaction. We therefore request participants to kindly confine their questions to the acquisition only. Let me now briefly take you through the transaction of acquisition of AAML. Dalco is a company which got established in 1988 and has a proven track record of four decades. Dalco has two manufacturing units based out of USA, South Carolina and North Carolina. It has a capacity of 75 million pounds, and it has achieved a growth rate of 10% with a margin of 17% and before acquisition return on capital of 40%. The acquisition is expected to accelerate Arvind Advanced Materials Limited's global footprint and reduce the supply chain risk that is associated with current geopolitical situation. It gives access to a massive TAM of $2.5 billion across all segments. It is currently operating a needle-punched non-woven technology in USA, which is a technology adjacent to AAML's industrial production and filtration capability. It also has existing access to customers of around 75, with exclusive access to 88% of its supplier base. This transaction is structured in a way to be beneficial to AAML. We have acquired 61% stake in the company at a valuation of 7.75 times of calendar year 2025 reported EBITDA. The transaction is valued at $136 million and we are taking 61% like I said earlier. I'm also happy to inform all of you that the entire existing top management will be continuing with us and completely aligned with our vision of taking this company forward. The current deal at the valuation that I have just described is both margin accretive and EPS accretive at Arvind consolidated level. The current acquisition is funded through a combination of debt at both Arvind Advanced Materials Limited and debt at the target company Dalco GFT. This is to ensure that we take the benefit of taxation at both geographies. The financial ratios post acquisition of Dalco GFT is within the covenant that we have already signed in for. We expect this to improve in 12 months' time. We are very happy to have this acquisition done and it is currently now completed. All the financing transaction has been closed and it is now completed. With that, I conclude my opening remarks. Let me allow the operator to open the lines for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use only handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Sundar S. from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is with regards to volumes. What are the current volumes that this particular entity does? We understand that the capacity is about 75 million annual pounds capacity. What is the utilization? What is the current volumes?
Utilization is around 85% of the capacity.
Would that mean we would have to put in additional money for CAPEX?
There is already a plan to put in approximately $5 million of CAPEX every year. And the company is generating very good cash flows. So it will fund those CAPEXs through internal accruals plus have money left over to pay down debt.
So thank you. And just another question is that how the balance sheet look in terms of, can you just break up the assets and what's the working capital that we're taking over and how much are we repatriating towards Kunwood?
We couldn't hear that properly. Can you please repeat slightly slower and louder, please?
No, I just wanted to understand as to how is the balance sheet going to look in terms of what is the asset quantum that we're taking over, what is the working capital on books, and what would be the goodwill that we'll be writing on Arvind Limited books?
So the working capital number, just to tell you the first number, is about 60 days, which is exactly in line with what we have in Arvind Limited. And we will continue to have that number. Let me have the goodwill number worked out for you and I'll probably call you just in a couple of minutes. We can probably take that as the next question.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Surya Narayan Nayak from Sunidhi Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, congratulations for the great set of acquisition. So just to understand, what is the specialty of this company and whether the what you said, the $5 million capex every year, that will be sufficient to take the growth of aspirations of 10% CAGR, or you want to, you see more scope in there?
So at the outset, first let me say that, I'm extraordinarily excited by this. This is Puneet, by the way. I'm extraordinarily excited by this acquisition. See, in this space, the company operates in a technology called needle punched nonwovens. That is the same technology we use for our filtration business in India. They use it for automotive and geotextiles. Those are the two big segments. Now, if we had to start this from scratch in ourselves, it would take us better part of a decade to achieve any scale in this business. So what this acquisition does is it gives us immediate scale and a very large addressable market in a technology that we understand very well. It is also a very tightly run operation. And we are retaining the entire management team who still own 39% of the equity stake at the company. So the incentives are aligned. I spent a lot of time with Joey Duncan, who was the founder of the business, Matt Sims, who's the CEO, David, Brian, Audra. They have a fantastic team, and there is a very good alignment of philosophy, strategy, thought process, and chemistry. It is a very automated process, manufacturing process, so it requires not too much workforce to manage in the US. So from many, many perspectives, us knowing the technology, great team, not unwieldy to manage, and highly profitable and performing very well with the customers. So getting this sort of asset is not at all easy to do. So I am particularly happy. Your question was around CapExes and the thought process. So I think there are multiple levels of unlocks that will happen with this asset in Arvind's hands. I think the first unlock is a more aggressive growth trajectory than in the past. They were very focused because they were primarily private equity owned. They were more focused on unlocking efficiency and unlocking profitability, which they did a very good job of in the last 3 to 4 years. Now I think we are going to shift gears in terms of growth. And particularly with the infrastructure bill signed in the US, the opportunity to grow in geotextiles while maintaining the sort of salience with automotive customers, I think that's the first sort of unlock that will happen in our hands. Because we are at 85% capacity utilization and we will do a $5 million capex every year, we should be able to grow in the mid-teens rather than 10%. That is, you know, our ambition going forward. I think there are, it is important to note that this product needs to be manufactured close to the consumption. So we are going to keep the manufacturing in the places that it is already there, and there is sufficient space to at least for 2 years to keep adding lines in the same 2 manufacturing locations of the company. So, you know, I think it is, you know, very doable to grow at the mid-teen level. We will continue to remain close to the point of consumption, and the second order and third order synergies would be us bringing those technologies to India to address the Indian market as it grows, and us taking our knowledge and our product categories, because we have the same manufacturing platform both in India and the US, to the US. So taking our products to the US, bringing some of their products to India, and then using that sales channels to sell other products overall. I think so. Those are the various levels of synergy that will be unlocked as we go forward. So we are excited for a number of these reasons that I just mentioned. Hope I was able to answer the question.
Thank you. I mean, just another follow-up question is that is the company only focusing on the US market? Because if the automotive was the case, then I guess Mexico and Canada also could be a favorable market for the company. So are they present in those markets as well?
No, they are not. Because if I have to be present in Mexico, I have to have a line in Mexico. The radius of many of these products is not beyond 500 to 700 miles. Because then the transportation costs start to add up. But yes, the opportunity is there that once we exhaust, these facilities, we can expand in other logical areas like Texas or Mexico. There are many options. We haven't given deep thought to that yet because there is still a lot to do from these 2 facilities, and there is a lot of headroom without thinking of branching too far beyond the current radius of operation.
What could be, sir, the gross block of that company, if you can give a figure, if you are ready with that?
We'll just get back to you on that exact number.
Okay.
I think it's around 25 million, but let the team confirm and just get back on that.
Because if $25 million is there, then obviously for 5 million it makes sense. But it looks like, you know, at 85% utilization factor, we have nearly existing. I mean, we are at the upper end of the utilization factors. So I mean, we should be looking at some other expansions beyond that. I mean, $5 million, it could be a kind of more of a maintenance capex, or it would be growth capex.
No, $5 million is a new line. So a line costs $5 million.
So how many lines at the moment?
We have 6 lines, and 4 of them have been just sort of upgraded. So there is enough and more capacity for the next year, and we'll be firing the capex soon so that the year after that is taken care of. So we will ensure that we have enough capacity to grow at 15%. Capacity will not be a constraint to our growth.
So how much lines if the capacity, the facility can accommodate?
We can accommodate 3 more lines in the space that we have. So which
okay,
is
thank you,
sir. It's years capex.
Thank you, sir. I was calling you. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on this huge cap acquisition that has been done. Really impressive. So just wanted to understand the competitive landscape there. How the growth, the market has been growing, and what is the type of customers that you're dealing with, and what is the concentration ratio, whether of customers in this company?
So the market is a large market. So as Satya mentioned, the total addressable market is very large. It's in the billions with this technology platform. The sort of automotive segment, which is the largest segment, tends to grow at 3-4%. But noise and vibration reduction, which is the main product category of this company, tends to grow at a slightly faster clip of 7-7%. And then balance, there is the opportunity to gain market share. They are present with the 6 largest tier ones in the company, in the country, that supply all the automotive OEMs. And the platforms that they are specced into are a good mix between American, Japanese and Korean players. We've done a very thorough diligence on the quality of the platforms into which this company is specced in, and we are very happy that that sort of due diligence has come back quite positive. So we don't see any challenges on the automotive side. The large opportunity is in the geotextile side with the infrastructure bill being signed. There's a lot of infrastructure that's going to be built out in the US. And the opportunity to grow disproportionately fast exists in this segment and some of the other segments like roofing and flooring, where, you know, that will make up the growth beyond the natural rate of growth of automotives, which is in the high single digits for this product category. And by disproportionately growing in the other segments, we will go into the mid-teens. So that's the plan to go forward. As far as customer concentration is concerned, we are quite well balanced, and we are with all the customers that are meaningful in a deep relationship. Our performance track record has been excellent. We have good customer reviews. So on the customer side, it's a tick in the box. In terms of competition, there is competition, but within the automotive space, we are one of the most, for our product category, we are one of the most respected companies out there. Our performance will be top quartile in terms of delivery, price, and innovation, all three. Geotextiles, we are, you know, a young sort of recently started company. So the opportunity to take market share where there are, you know, a couple of companies that are larger, you know, is you know, really there for us. And with very, you know, sort of little investment in team and people, they've done a credible job in, you know, getting specced into the geotextile products. So now is the time to sort of press the accelerator there, is what we feel. So we'll be exploring all these options. As far as the automotive market is concerned, many of the products are, you know, sole sourced. So almost 85% of the, or maybe slightly higher than that even, are sole sourced by the customer from only the company. So it's a deep relationship.
Understood. So, sir, in this, the existing management has been with the company for how long, and how are they, can they help us in even expanding our India business in the US?
So the India business will have to manufacture in India, but we can definitely use the knowledge gained from the US entity to create manufacturing of these products in India. And as the Indian market grows, currently the Indian market is much smaller than the US market, but in the future it's going to be a very large market. So that at some point in time that will definitely happen. In terms of the management team, the person that owns the highest stake is the founder of the company. So he's been with the company as long as the company has been alive, which is, you know, since the 90s. And, you know, the team has been together in this form since the last 7-8 years. So it's a very stable team. It's a 5-6 decision maker team, which has been doing a fantastic job. And I've had the pleasure to get to know them over the last 3-5 months. And I cannot recommend them more, better than this. They are excellent in terms of how a close-knit, high-performing team can be.
Understood, sir. That's fantastic.
They all have equity in the company. And in terms of the way the deal is structured, we acquire the balance, you know, in two tranches, one at 2 years and the other at 4 years. And the management team, you know, will be more towards 4 years and less towards 2 years. The residual equity from the financial invest sponsor is what will go away at 2 years. So, so basically the long-term incentives are aligned.
Oh, fantastic. So, just wanted to also understand the cost pressures, if there are any, like how many employees you have in this firm to execute this $100 million sales, and whether you will need to invest into a higher number of employees to get the next leg of growth, or is there any other cost factor that you will need to take care of to drive a higher growth from the past?
So the manufacturing process is highly automated. So with a very marginal addition of workforce, you get, you know, very high volume throughput. So headcount is not going to dramatically increase. We may want to strategically invest in creating business development and customer service teams where we want to accelerate growth. But that's a handful of people. It's not going to be like very large numbers of people required to dial up growth. It's the quality of people that will matter. This company is extremely well managed in terms of its operating efficiency. So the cost per kg of output would be best in class. And the reason for retaining this team is because they do such a good job, and that's the real sort of feather in their cap. So cost is not a challenge from, you know, an operating perspective.
Understood. And sir, my last question is on margins. Is there any opportunity of improving margins from here on, or is it likely to be a top-line growth story
I think for a needle punch non-woven company, the return metrics are excellent. You know, 17% margin in an automotive-dominated company is, you know, very creditable. Also, the return metrics on capital are fantastic. So the focus will be on growth. We would like to maintain margins and grow faster. Of course, you know, with growth and scale, operating leverages, etc., will kick in. So hopefully there will be margin expansion too. But I think the margins are already at very good levels for this industry.
Understood, sir. All the best, and very happy to see more acquisition by textile sector in the US, you being one of the largest ones to acquire. Congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prerna.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vishal Mehta from IIFL Capital. Please proceed.
Congratulations team for a good acquisition, I would say. My question first would be, Punbhai, if you can throw some color on, you know, the selling rationale for the promoter. While I understand for the financial investor, for the promoter who's been running this for 4 decades, why sell now?
They worked really hard for, basically it was 2 promoters that brought their companies together and grew this into a very insignificant scale to, you know, a powerful company to reckon with. So I don't blame them for, you know, wanting to sort of
partially
take advantage of the hard work that they've done in terms of wealth creation for themselves. But the good news is that a big chunk of their equity is rolling over going forward, and it is primarily the financial sponsor whose job it is to sort of build an exit that is exiting. So I think, you know, it is, you know, the rationale is perfectly understandable, and the incentives are fully aligned. You know, there is a good chunk of 16-17% that the founder will still hold in this company and will hold for the entire 4-year period and hopefully even beyond, in terms of, you know, having a deep stake in this entity. And when one interacts with the team, they are really passionate. They really consider this company as their baby. And I think, you know, it's not the financial numbers that, you know, sort of finally convinced us to pull the trigger on this deal. It was actually the passion, the competence, and the sort of philosophical resonance with these people that was the deciding factor. And this is, and you know, I've been in this industry for a while. You don't see this so well and so clearly in many companies. So I think we got very lucky with the quality of team that is fully incentivized for the next value creation journey. And we are we've just redone the entire sort of performance linked long term incentives of the entire management team. So everybody is sort of raring to go and looking forward to unlocking much more value in the second wave.
Sure, that's fair. My second question would be, you know, these production lines that we are talking about, is it similar for all 3 major types of product categories that this company is catering to? If you can probably spell out if there are any production different.
Without getting too technical, the answer is yes and no. They are broadly the same, but not exactly the same.
Okay.
And there is very high level of fungibility.
Okay.
Needle punch nonwoven as a platform itself is very fungible. You can do many things with the same equipment. Of course, you have to do add-ons, bolt-ons, plus and minus to make it sort of tailor-made for the end application and, you know, do it at a better cost. You need to sort of make some modifications here and there. But broadly, it's a simple manufacturing platform that is creating a lot of innovative products. That's a rare combination.
Sure. Third question would be on the raw material side. What would be the key raw materials here and where are we sourcing these RMs from? Dependency about them?
It is mostly polymers. It is basically staple fiber that goes into the line. That staple fiber is generally, you know, some form of polyester or polypropylene or a combination thereof. And about 65 to 70% of the polymers are sourced locally in the US. Little bit from Taiwan and maybe little bit from little bit from Korea and little bit from Vietnam. So it's Vietnam, Korea and US, predominantly US.
Okay. And just wanted to extend your statement when you said that the manufacturing facility needs to be closer to the consumption center. If you can probably elaborate that, why that should be the case here?
Because needle punch non-wovens are high loft material. Basically, you're taking fiber and, you know, making a fabric by punching those fibers together. So there's huge amount of air gaps within the product by design.
Yeah.
And so essentially, you are shipping air.
Yes. Okay. Got it. Just last clarification, consolidation starts from today?
It's done.
Yesterday, yes.
Yes, sorry. Okay, thank you. Thanks for answering those questions and all the very best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Priyadarshi Das Mohapatra from FIL. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I was a little bit late in joining the call, but I would want to understand, you know, why a seller would like to part away with their stake at this point. What would be their motivation? And secondly, you know, whenever Indian companies have gone out and acquired outside of India, they have faced certain difficulties as well. So what are the risks that we see to our growth and taking on demand, competitive pressures, anything that can go wrong and how we can safeguard against that?
So, I mean, in any acquisition, there are risks. I'll answer the second question first. In any acquisition or in any venture, you know, there is always risk. But I'm very clear that Arvind has to be a global company. The way to create value in advanced materials is to have a global footprint. That was always part of the plan. And we are delivering on that key aspect of the plan through this acquisition. I think the right question to ask is not why, but how we are, you know, managing that risk. And we are managing the risk because in multiple ways. First, this is the exact same technology platform that we've been running in India for more than a decade. So we understand it in great detail. Second, we are hardly making any change. We are making no change to the operating team. So basically, we are the wind beneath their wings. We are not the guys who are going to go there and shake things up. So basically, it is, you know, we are bringing the Arvind power to help them with their aspirations and their ability to grow well. So in a way, it is a low-touch model. We'll be focused more on brainstorming strategy. We'll be focused more on, of course, putting in control systems and processes. But we are going to leave the team to do its magic, the same magic they've been creating over the last 3-4 years. And we are going to, you know, sort of support them with resources to do more magic. So basically, acquisitions go wrong when you go in with the sort of intention to change things, move manufacturing to India, reduce costs, try and unlock management cost synergies. Here the management is such a lean and high performing team that we are not going to do any of those risky moves that normally in acquisitions people try and do to unlock synergies. Our way of unlocking synergies will be using their knowledge to build in India, using our India knowledge to build newer lines of business there, and using the sales channels to sell each other's products. These don't affect the core of the business running. It is also two facilities that are performing at almost the same high level of productivity, and it's less than 150 employees, and less than 70-80 blue collar. So the footprint is small and manageable compared to the tens of thousands of employees we manage in India. So in many ways, this ticked all the boxes in terms of, low risk of integration. It is already performing at a high level. We just have to help them do more of the same without really getting in their way.
Maybe Puneet, just to that, I'll just add a little bit. This is Mayank Tiwari, I'm the Chief Strategy Officer for the group. You may have missed this part, but also given the high fungibility of the asset base in the segments that they play in, anytime that there is a slight slowdown or downturn in the cycle of any one particular industry, the others catch up. So we have done a fair amount of robust financial testing of just seeing this across different cycles. Having privilege of playing in 3 or 4 end markets allows you to have sort of that containment of risk within the industries. Most of the industries that they play in are also relatively protected. So anything from a China perspective, anything from auto is a very protected market within the US. So participation or any market risk from outside the geographies is also fairly limited. As Puneet said, it's a veteran management team, and with who we are driving a very high alignment of incentives as well. And there's a very low risk of integration here, given that it's a very strong management team that is continuing.
Understood. Yeah. Thanks a lot. And if I may just follow up with the growth question. Why would growth be mid-teens in the developed market setting?
Sorry, I couldn't quite. Why would growth be? I lost you for a second.
In mid-teens, why would growth from here would be mid-teens in a developed market setting? Why would it not be single digits?
It will be single digits if you follow the market growth rate. We are expecting to grow much beyond the market growth rate because we are adding much more firepower to underrepresented segments. The market is going through a sudden expansion because of legislative changes, and there are very few players that so demand is going to for a period of time outstrip supply. So the opportunity to grow much faster than sort of the mature market growth rate is actually there, and that's one of the key inputs to why we at AMD we have a 20%+ growth aspiration. So we can't be doing acquisitions that have low headroom for growth. So headroom for growth is something that we have really delved in deeply, and for the reasons I mentioned, there is that opportunity that we see.
The historical track record of the company is to grow revenue in double digits as well, and margin in high teens, and we expect that with the combination of markets that we are in, we will continue to maintain that 10-12% revenue growth and mid-teens margin expansion, or margin growth rather, And this, the business plan that we have built along with the management team is one that we are fairly confident of delivering.
All right. Thanks a lot and congratulations on this wonderful execution. Thank you. And also on your execution, which has been very good over the last 1 year or so amid all the turbulence. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Monish Ghodke from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, the press release says that to fund this acquisition, $50 million will be raised in the US entity and $60 million in the AAML. But I believe, I mean, the cost of this acquisition will be around $80 million, right? I mean, $136 million and 60% stake. But we are raising $110 million. So could you throw some light on this?
Yes, Manish. We just give us a second. We will explain how exactly it works out.
Yeah. Manish, it's a simple sort of math is that the EV of the acquisition is about $136 million. There is about $16-17 million of net debt in the company. And we are purchasing 70% economic interest. So we are putting about $84-85 million of outlay to purchase that. The seller part of the equity portion, which let's say the total equity value of the company is about 120. Sellers have 36 million, 35, 36 million of that equity, which rolls over into the new entity. And the new entity, as you know, the equity value remains at 136 million. We are funding it 250 million of debt. So total equity value now has come to 86 million and the seller has about 35, 36 of that. So the resultant ratio for AML at the end of, because of the debt that we have taken at the US level is about 61%. So that is how the math works.
The seller, the existing shareholders are participating in the debt as well. That's why the numbers work out that way.
That's right. So they are selling a certain percentage today and they will roll over whatever they are not selling in exactly equal $1 million terms into the new entity.
So sir, how much Arvind is raising in debt?
In US company now the total debt is $50 million. Earlier it was $15 million. So additionally $35 million is loaded there. And we have raised $60 million in India.
Okay. Sir, what will be the cost of this debt?
So it is in US dollar terms. So as of today, based on the current SOFR rate, it is 5.5%.
Okay. Sir, what is the PAT of this company, Dalco?
So,
Manish, the part of the Dalco as per reported financial of CY25 is around 100 crore in Indian rupees.
Okay. And sir, who are the key customers of Dalco in the automotive segment?
They are tier 2s. You will not know the names. They are tier 1s. We are tier 2. They are tier 1s. And then their customers will be the people we know, Toyota, Hyundai, Ford, GM, all of those. So we sell to the middle layer, selling to the car makers basically.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harsh Dubey from LFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on having good acquisition. Just wanted to understand, as you said that they are into automotive. The first thing that I want to understand is the product specifically into that. And as you said that there will be transition of technology from the US to India as well to sell that kind of product. So what is the expectation from Indian market related to that? That's the first question.
So we are working on that as we speak. The expectation is that some point in the next 2.5 years, we will fire that process. Till then, we will be very busy accelerating the U.S. business.
Okay. And after this acquisition is done, just as we always have said that our expectation from MD is approximately 18 to 20%. And after addition of this, is there any revision, like downward? Like, are we expecting like 15% to 18% now or something like that?
I mean, there might, there, the US entity will grow slightly slower than the Indian entity, but we will be, I think, you know, it will not be by significantly too much less. So, you know, we will still want to go, grow in the high teens and hopefully 20% plus.
Okay. Just on this as well. So, in the previous con calls, if I am able to recollect, we had a point where we said that now our focus is going to be more on the depth of the product lines that we already have, human protection, industrial and composites. And we said that we are not going to expand our products line, but after this acquisition, even our breadth is increasing. I understand that it's a good thing. Just wanted to understand from the management perspective for human protection and the current you know, products line that we have.
In our mind, not so much of a... See, the way, you know, this business has been built, it has been built through platforms. The sort of segmentation through product is, you know, to just make the more understandable. The way to think about this is that this is a needle-punching, non-woven platform and we are doing more things with the same platform. So similarly, you know, for our weaving platform gave rise to, you know, several lines of business. So the complexity, know-how, product creation potential, innovation, all happens at the platform level. The customer is, you know, then there are just BD teams that manage the customer. So yes, we are creating a new BD team, but we are not really creating a very different line of business. It is the same platform that we understand and have been operating for more than a decade. So that nuance is... So I'm not seeing this as a, you know, very, very gross diversification from our original area. I still feel it is within the sort of focus. Yes, we are, you know, building newer lines of product and customer connections, but we are keeping a lot of the sort of manufacturing core, which is where the innovation and product creation happens, very similar to what we are doing here in India.
Perfect. So just to follow up on this, like on the valuations that we have got now, if we see at the technical textile and at the Indian companies having valuations of EBITDA, what we have got is a really good deal in that sense. So your thought upon that, as well as after 4 years, you have said that so after 2 years, the PE fund will be most probably selling its stake, and after 4 years, we are expecting 100% acquisition. So will promoters sell all of their stakes or something like that?
No, so I think 4 years is a long period of time. I'll answer the second question first. I think 4 years is a long period of time. There are many options if things are going well and the management team has still got legs to, you know, want to continue, we will find a way for them to be incentivized to continue. We've done that with all our businesses, even our Indian businesses, right? So we always give value creation opportunities to our key performers. And so that opportunity will exist to the Dalco GFT management as well, should they wish to continue beyond 4 years. But currently, the way the deal is structured, the residual equity will be bought by Arvind, and then we may do something on top of that to incentivize managers, which we will have to do in any case, whether they are the same people or new people. So I think thinking about the transaction and the way it is structured is slightly separate from how we keep the management motivated. We are very good at motivating our management. And we have a long track record of creating value for people who run businesses well for us. So that's on the sort of equity stake of the management. The question around valuation is that I feel we've paid fair value for this company. It's a company that's doing really well It's a company that's growing. It's a company that's well managed. It's a company that, you know, sort of has the potential to unlock a lot of synergies. It's a company that gets us truly global, which has been one of our aspirations that we have already stated. So it checks a lot of boxes, and from that perspective, we like the valuation at which we bought the company. It was done through a competitive process, and we won out in that process. So I think it's a fair value. In our hands, across 4 or 5 years, if things go well, we should feel like we've, you know, bought it at a value that then we were able to create a lot more value on top of it.
Perfect, sir. That gives a lot of clarity. Just the integration of this will start to happen from mid of quarter one FY27, and like from FY27 the revenues are 65% will start to flow into our console numbers, right?
Just to clarify, because we bought the company yesterday, so the from accounting perspective, nearly 2 months of quarter one will come in into our quarter one results of Arvind Console. And of course, later on, all full quarters will come in.
Perfect, sir. Congratulations once again. Very good acquisitions, and all the best to you for future prospects.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Kishore Kumar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats on the acquisition, sir, and getting into the new market. Sir, actually, I just wanted to confirm the numbers that you gave on the debt. So 60 million, we are rising it in the Indian entity level, and 50 is being raised at the US entity. Of that 50, there is a share between the existing investor and Arvind. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Got it. And sir, actually, if I look at the leverage side of it, debt to EBITDA, it's on the higher side. So how do we plan here? Actually, what's our thought process?
From our perspective, you know, as the Arvind Group, and you would have seen it in last 3 to 5 years, that we are philosophy is to not have long-term debt on our books. Since this opportunity came to us, and it is a very attractive opportunity as we discussed, we have funded it through, immediately funded it through the debt on the books of Arvind Advanced Material Company. And our current thinking and medium-term plan is to quickly pay down the debt, though we have raised a 5-year loan. Our idea is, or our aim would be to almost wind this down over next couple of years, and we are working on ways and means of doing it.
Got it. And the second question is on the inflation pressure in the US. Are you seeing any cost inflation pressure in terms of power cost or fuel? Is there any near-term impact that you see in this business?
The only impact that is inflationary is on raw material, because it's petroleum linked. Both all polymers are petroleum linked. So polymer prices have gone up. But so far it's manageable, and you know, from the, we just came back from the US, and our analysis shows that so far the impact hasn't been much. But you know, if the war situation goes on, then we will have to see how the situation evolves. Some amount of cost increases have been successfully passed on. So it's an evolving situation, and we'll keep an eye on it, but I don't see it becoming a, you know, sort of derailer type situation.
Got it, sir. Since actually, like, 85% of the players are sole customers, I think the company possesses some kind of the bargaining power over its customers, isn't it?
So always, you know, customer is king. So, but yes, you know, it shows that the company is well respected and well trusted. So that's what I would take away from that metric. And that is because, you know, once you are specced into a car, you are part of the entire development process. So, you know, you don't then mess around with that. And, you know, life of a model is 6 to 7 years. So then, you know, whoever gets in during development stays generally unless something very bad happens with your product. You don't normally exit the platform.
Got it. Understood. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ronak Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So my question is regarding the order book, and is there any seasonality in this sort of business? I do understand that considering the last...
Sorry to interrupt, but, Mr. Ronak, your voice is very low. Please use your handset.
Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
So my question is regarding the order book. How the order book looks like in this sort of business? On top of that, in case of any seasonality, in case you may highlight?
There is no obvious seasonality in the business, and because automotive is a large part of the business, and because you are specced in to the platforms, you know, the production throughput remains fairly constant. So production per day at 85% utilization is fairly constant. So the growth will come from additional capacity addition and a little bit of uptake through the higher effort we will do in some of the other segments to go towards that 90%+ utilization and then capacity addition. So the answer is no, there is not much seasonality.
And if I may add, this is Gurpreet. Normally the customer contracts that you are specced in, we have about 50% share of that part with a contractual life about 5-6 years, which we have tested during the due diligence process.
Okay, understood. That's it for myself.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dev Gulwani from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So as mentioned in PPT, the synergies between Dalco and Arvind in terms of customers and technology. So how will this synergies accelerate the growth in AMD segment?
So we will have the opportunity to build new lines of business with this knowledge and references that the company has. But I would say that is the second phase of growth. I think the first phase of growth is to unlock the opportunity within the US with the same asset base, with the underutilized space in the two factories, adding lines there and capturing that. So I think we'll be busy with that for the next year and a half, 2 years. In the meanwhile, we will plan how we can use Dalco GFT's capabilities and start to build India line of business or maybe line of business in a third location as well. So and then of course there is our filtration business, which is also a large market in the US today, which we are underrepresented in. So using this this asset base to try and see how we can be a bigger player in the US will be also another way to unlock synergy. And then of course there are sales channels where we can drive other products in the relevant market spaces that can be manufactured in India and sold there as well. So we are exploring all of this, and as it will evolve, we will share more information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yash Patel from Kotak Investments. Please go ahead.
So all my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avanish Chandra from Smith. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, management team, on a great acquisition, having good financial business valuation and sticky business. Sir, I have a quick question. Your parallel announcement of internal restructuring where you subscribe 100% equity in a company, US company with nil revenue, with step-down subsidiary. What is the purpose for that? Are we looking at some other acquisitions?
No, so all of them were part of the structuring of this transaction. with all of those now have been consolidated and now we own 60% of the 61% of the company Dalco GFT.
Okay, so that is already consolidated in Dalco. Okay, and sir, it will be good for everyone if you can share the whole financial of Dalco, all three financial statements.
Yes, so when we do the quarter one financials, at that time the whole financials of Dalco will also get included.
Okay, so sir, on quarter four result announcement, still we will not have consolidated statement after taking account this Dalco.
Also required some whatever information is required of that company, we would be happy to provide. Absolutely.
Sure, sir. So in this con call, people ask for goodwill and other things. So at least headline numbers, if you can provide, we can make our numbers accordingly.
Will do. Will do.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harsh Dubey from LFC Securities. Please go ahead.
So sir, just to follow up, as we have said that we expect our revenue for this Dalco to grow by approximately mid-teen. So as we have said in the PPT, it has grown in the previous years by approximately 10%. So any specific reason why it was low and why do we specifically think that we will be able to add extra 5% in the revenue growth? Any specific pointers on that?
So they didn't focus so much on capacity addition and, business development in some of the smaller segments. They were more focused on unlocking synergies and getting to a high teen EBITDA. So, with PE based majority shareholders, their objective was to, improve profitability and sort of divest the company at a certain point in time. So I think the past reflects that objective. Now the change in objective is to look at more growth and to invest behind sort of chasing down those new lines of business and creating capacity at a faster pace than it was created in the past. And the $5 million plus that I said every year reflects that higher run rate of CapEx investment. So that's how the growth will get dialed up.
Perfect. And also on the part of acquisition, so just a number if you could share as some of the participants also asked for the goodwill, the intangible and the actual asset value that we have taken of 136 million.
Sure. So that Satya will immediately send it out to all the analysts and investors, the headline numbers of the balance sheet of this company.
Perfect. And also, sir, just on the understanding of this business even more in a detail, so just wanted to understand, when we say that this company provides the products to Tier 1 and then it is sold to the OEMs there, right? So when we say 88% of the sole sourcing for OEM, what exactly do we mean by 88% sole sourcing?
So Honda CR-V ka wheel well liner, we get specced into. So we provide the non-woven. Our customer will take that non-woven and mold it into the wheel well liner, which will go onto the car's assembly line. Now, in 88% of the cases, it's only our product for that model that will be used.
Perfect. Okay. So, just on this, when we say that since 88% of our product is going, that means there is huge amount of stickiness for our product and the quality is really high. And as you said, after two and a half years, when we are going to come for automotive industry in India, specifically, are there any competitors in this segment in India and how do you think of that in India?
So there are competitors. In India, the market operates differently. Here, the manufacturer, so generally the biggest player in India is both tier 2 and tier 1. So we will have to work out the details on how we want to enter India, and it would be a little premature without having, you know, all that rigor and work complete to start talking about that on this call. But in the future, we will come with, you know, a detailed thought process around it. As such, that is a little time away. It's in the second horizon of synergies. The first is, you know, dialing up some of the you know, segments that have immediate opportunity to dial up in the US.
Perfect. On this, sir, when we say that we are going to have capex of 5 million for each year, so will that only be for like all the three lines, or will it specifically go for the each line that we are going to add in the present facility?
So see, when you say, you know, when you take 5 million, it's never a round number like that. Sometimes you may do 8 million in a year and then have a pause till that 8 million gets fully utilized. So again, all of that is being worked on. The capex plan for this year should be ready in 3 to 4 months. And till then, we have headroom to start growing in any case with the capacity utilization figure that can go up as well. So we have time to finalize that. But basically, thumb rule, 5 million represents one line of capacity. And depending on what product you want to make and the GSMs that you want to make, the throughput will get defined. So that's a little bit too much detail to get into here.
Yeah. Just two more questions, so very small. So first is the cost of debt for AAML, since we are highly rated, the credit rating is really good. So cost of debt for AAML is what that we have taken for this acquisition?
Around 6.
Okay, so around 6% and 5.5% for the US debt, right? So when we talk about, since the acquisition is only of 60% till now, and so the revenue recognition that will happen will be only 60% of the firm, I suppose, right?
No, like so the revenue and EBITDA will get consolidated as a subsidiary of the company, and we'll remove the minority interest from the...
Perfect. I thought also, so just clarification. Yeah, thank you so much and all the best again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Satya Prakash for closing comments.
Thank you all once again for joining this call. I would like to thank once again our sincere appreciation for our legal advisors, our financial advisors, legal counsel, auditors, bankers, regulatory authorities for their support for a timely completion of this deal. We trust that most of your questions are answered during the call. If something is still remaining, me and my colleague are happy to answer any of them at any point in time. We are just a phone call or an email away. Looking forward to joining you again in our quarterly results call. Thank you and wish you a pleasant evening ahead.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Arvind Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.